Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. We begin with a prayer to our Lord and God. O most merciful Lord, who desires worshipers who will honor you in spirit and in truth, send your spirit to cleanse us from dead works, to serve you in righteousness and holiness, and to honor your great and saving name for giving us Jesus, who is the expression of your special eternal love unto salvation to everyone who believes. This we pray in his name. Amen. Our first hymn is hymn 707, found at page 2. Please rise. We follow the order of service that's found in the bulletin this morning, and we start on page 2. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we've disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you of all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Christ, have mercy on us. 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 Christ,
pray, Lord God, forgive the wrongdoings of your people and be gentle with us in our weakness. Deliver us from the bondage of sin and direct us to the path of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is taken from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. It was through Moses that these words were recorded and passed on to the children of Israel. You may recall Moses never entered the Promised Land, but he was preparing the Israelites to enter his land. And the Lord was telling them, commanding them, observe my commandments. Not only you, but your children and your grandchildren. And he said, if you do, things will go well for you. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, that is, respect him, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, keep God's commands always before your eyes and observe them. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The second reading is from John chapter 6, verses 41 to 51. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. The Old Testament priests were a type, a symbol, that were pointing ahead to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Now these Old Testament priests, they represented the people before God. They offered up sacrifices for sins for the people, but they had to offer up sacrifices for themselves too, because they were sinful. And they were to offer up prayers on behalf of the people. Now Jesus, he didn't need to offer up sacrifices for himself. He was perfect. The sacrifice he offered up was his life for our forgiveness and salvation. And now he sits in the heavens, representing us before the Heavenly Father, interceding for us, pleading our cause when we approach the throne of God in prayer. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all. Once for all, just one sacrifice took care of it when he offered up himself. The law appoints as high priest men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Continue with the next hymn. Jesus, thy boundless love to me. Please stand. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. So far a text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who not only revealed the law of God, but He also fulfilled it for us, dear fellow redeemed. In catechism class, when going through the Ten Commandments, I've asked students to give me one word which sums up the commandments. Well, after giving it some thought, the catechumens answered like commandments or law. Now, these are all good answers to summarize the Ten Commandments, but there could be other biblical terms like statutes, ordinances, precepts, or judgments. These words are all good descriptive terms for God's holy will. However, there's one word that really sums it up best, and that is love. The Apostle Paul says of love in his letter to the Romans, "Love is the fulfillment of the law." Now, this kind of love is no ordinary kind of love. It's not speaking of an emotional, filial, friendly, or romantic kind of love. It's the highest form of love. It is a love where we put others before ourselves. It's a selfless love. In today's scripture text, Jesus found himself in the receiving end of questions. A Jewish scribe, who was an expert in the Old Testament laws, asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" In other words, which is the most important commandment? This question was asked of Jesus in the setting of the Jews trying to trip Jesus up, trying to find fault with him. And they figured this is one where they've got him. After all, there are all kinds of laws. Ten Commandments, the many Levitical laws that were handed down to Mount Sinai. And then in addition to this, these Old Testament Jews, they added hundreds upon hundreds of laws to those found in the Bible. So, which of all these laws are the most important? Jesus said of the most important law, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, all these Ten Commandments can be summarized with one word. Love. The first three commandments, or the first table of the law, deal with loving God. The next seven, or the second table of the law, deal with love for our neighbor. What Jesus declared here was not only revealed in the Old Testament, but repeated by him in the New Testament. It's for all people, for all time. Before Jesus gave the first and greatest commandments, first and second one, namely loving God and love our neighbor, he prefaced it by stating, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It is absolutely critical that we not only acknowledge this, but accept it to have a correct understanding of God's holy will for us. This brief declaration is stating there's only one God, only one true God. That one true God is revealed in Scripture as the Lord God Jehovah. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God, the three-in-one God. He, and he alone, has the divine authority to command people of every time to observe his holy will. Now just think of what we could end up with if we didn't know this or didn't accept this, that is, the triune God being the only true God. We could fall prey to all kinds of false religions, like the Muslim religion. Have you studied it? Do you know what the Muslim religion is about? Well, they have all kinds of laws that they have contrived to the detriment of their followers, as well as those who don't believe in Islam. They have developed what's called the Sharia law, which they want to be a dominant law throughout the world. According to Sharia law, women are to be completely covered from head to toe when they go out in public. A thief who's guilty of stealing could have his hand cut off or whipped in the public square. It's permissible and even commendable to kill infidels. That is, those who have forsaken the Muslim religion or people who are not willing to accept this faith. And a martyr, someone who dies in jihad, the holy war, well, they say that's a direct ticket to heaven. You'll just go straight to heaven if you do that. None of this reflects the holy will of the one true God to love him and to love our neighbor. What does it mean to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength? It is to place him above everyone and everything else in our life. He is to be loved to such a highest degree that he holds first position in our hearts. And so as Christians, we don't go around and say, "I'm number one," or "we are number one." No. As believers in the one true God, we say, "God is number one in my heart and in my life." With God having first position in our hearts and lives, we are to have the highest regard and respect for him and his will. This highest regard for the Lord would cause us to dread the thought of transgressing his will and thus offend him. We are to be more concerned about pleasing him than anyone else. And also, instead of worrying or fretting about this or that and putting our trust in ourselves or someone else, God says, "Put your trust in me. Have confidence in my care." If we were to love our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, it naturally follows that we want to keep all of his commandments. The Apostle John writes in his first letter, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Now, if we were to take the mirror of God's law, that is of his holy law, and reveal what's in our hearts and our lives, we all have to confess that we have miserably failed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. This is evidenced by the statement that's found in Holy Scripture that applies to us and everybody else. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us have always put God first in our hearts and in our lives. All this shows that we've not given him first place there. O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against your commandments to love you above everyone and everything in this world. Thankfully, we have Jesus as our righteousness and our salvation. The Lord Jesus, who informed the Jewish scribe that the greatest command of God is to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind, he is the one, Jesus is the one, who perfectly kept that command to love God above all things else. And he did this as our Savior. He did what we couldn't do so that he could be our righteousness credited to us and enable us to stand before God as his holy children, not having any righteousness of ourselves, but only the righteousness of Christ that covers over all our flaws and imperfections. Isn't that amazing? That you can stand before the holy God as his holy children, in whom he is well pleased? It's because of Jesus, your righteousness. Thankfully, we have Jesus who is our righteousness. Jesus put God the Father first in his heart when he made the tremendous sacrifice of leaving his exalted throne on high, came on earth to become a humble, lowly servant of everyone. Jesus came to serve everyone in humbleness and lowliness, to carry out God's plan for our salvation. In the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by the devil, not once did Jesus give in to his temptations and fall into sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the hour of completing his mission was approaching and it was getting very difficult for Jesus as he knew what was awaiting him on Calvary, he wanted to observe God's, the Father's will. He said, "Not as I will, but as you will." And again he said, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Because Jesus put God the Father first in his heart and in his life, the Lord Jesus fulfilled his will by redeeming us from all our unloving and our deserved punishment. Secondly, the Lord Jesus revealed to the Jewish scribe the second greatest commandment, saying, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That is, this love for our neighbor, this is to come after our affection to God, all of our neighbors, our family, our friends, our acquaintances, even our enemies, are to be placed above ourselves. Such a love is foreign to us. In the selfishness of our sinful nature, we say, "Me first." How about that at school? Getting in line to do this or that. Me first. Or in the place of work. Me first. No. Loving your neighbor as yourself means you put your neighbor before yourself. The Apostle Paul gives us a good commentary on what is involved in loving our neighbor as ourselves when he writes in Romans, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." So, as I said before, when it comes to the matter of loving our neighbor, that means everybody. Family, friends, acquaintances, enemies. We're to love them more than ourselves. And we are to do them no harm, either in word or deed, but rather help and befriend them. Here again, if we were to put up the mirror of God's law to see ourselves, what's in our hearts, what's in our lives, it would lay bare unloving thoughts, feelings, and emotions in our hearts toward our neighbors. It would expose words that we've spoken, which hurt our neighbor. And it would reveal actions taken on our part which injured our neighbor. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against your commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thanks be to Jesus that he loved all of his neighbors more than himself, and so fulfill the second greatest commandment to absolute perfection in every way for us as our Savior. Looking over the record of Jesus' life, did you ever find Jesus putting himself before others? No, in every instance he put his neighbor before himself. Throughout his ministry, he can be seen tirelessly helping and serving other people, whether it was preaching the Word of God, performing miracles to heal, feeding them, or rescuing them from spiritual or physical harm. And then, when he came to finish his earthly mission, he put everyone before himself when he went to the cross to bear all our sins and to suffer all our punishments so that we could be forgiven and eternally saved. No greater love can we ever find than the love that Jesus showed us. After Jesus answered the scribe, this Jewish expert said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Since the scribe approved and accepted Jesus' answer, the Lord Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far. You're close, but you're not quite there yet. You not only need to acknowledge this as God's holy will, to love God and love your neighbor, but it's necessary to come before the Lord with a contrite, sorrowful heart, to confess our sins of failing to love God like we should and loving our neighbor as ourselves, and then to turn to the Lord Jesus in faith, trusting. He's paid for all my sins. I have full and free forgiveness through him, and his righteousness is mine. May God have mercy upon us through Jesus Christ for failing to love him and our neighbor as ourselves. May we put our faith in his forgiving love for us in Christ Jesus, and may God's great love for us fill our hearts with love for God and our neighbor. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue with the singing of hymn 698 on page 8 of the bulletin. In addition to the general prayer, there are a number of other prayers we want to offer up. One for missionary Peter Evenson. He has been in the States for a number of months because of health problems, especially of his knees and feet. Finally, he's received some treatment that's given him some relief. And so on Tuesday, he's going to be traveling back to Togo, Africa, to continue his work there. We also offer up a prayer for Pastor Paul Nolting of Valentine, Nebraska. He is going to be undergoing a heart procedure to either replace or repair a heart valve. And with this being Veterans Weekend, we also want to offer up prayers as we remember them, as well as now than the general prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing missionary Evenson with a measure of health so that he can once again return to his work in Africa. We pray, O Lord, that you will give him a safe journey to his destination and that you will continue to help him to be restored to complete health and strength. We also pray for Pastor Nolting, who will be undergoing surgery on Friday. We pray, O Lord, that you will guide the hand of the surgeon and bring success to their efforts and restore him to strength so that he can once again return to his work in Valentine as well as in South Dakota. O Lord, we remember this weekend the horrors of war and the mercies of your providence in the past. We give you thanks for those who have served in our armed forces and the families that have loved them, missed their presence, interceded in prayer for them, and rejoiced in their return. Especially, though, we pray for those families who did not see their loved ones return because they gave their lives in defense of freedom in this land that we love. May we never forget the sacrifices that have been made for us by these courageous men and women. Lord of the nations, we pray, according to your good and gracious will, that you would grant peace among nations in this time as well. Put into the hearts of rulers and nations the desire to avert bloodshed, strife, and selfishness, and cause all to see the folly of war. You guarantee to all eternal peace in Christ Jesus. May your gospel be proclaimed, that the foundation of love may be laid in Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In his name we ask this. Amen. Blessed God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be your children by adoption through faith in Christ, your Son. Support our faith and keep us ever as your children and heirs of eternal life. Enlarge the love we have for our Savior, who loved us first and gave himself as an offering for our sins. Bestow the Holy Spirit upon us in rich measure, that by his help we may keep your commandments and thereby offer vigorous proof of our faith and our love. Keep us, we pray, from every form of idolatry. Help us with every word we speak and every deed we do to glorify your name. May we shun everything that would dishonor it. How precious is the book divine by inspiration given. May we never neglect to read it for ourselves, nor fail to hear it taught and preached. Bless our parents with zeal and wisdom to instruct their children in your holy word and to administer proper discipline. Help us to honor and obey all whom you have placed over us, that by the righteous life we may live in peace and quiet without fear of punishment, and may set a godly example for all. Give us an unselfish love toward our neighbor, lest we succumb to spiteful and hateful thoughts concerning him and treat him wickedly. Enable husbands and wives to love each other and to be faithful to their marriage vows. Help us to respect the rights and property of others and be ready always to promote their welfare. Instead of trying to take advantage of others, may we be moved to treat them with fairness and honesty in all our dealings. Set a watch over our hearts and guard our lips that we do not speak or think evil against our brother and our neighbor. Cause us to be content with such things as we have, and with firm faith to rely on you for all that we need. Keep us from coveting what belongs to others, and fill us instead with righteous thoughts and holy desires. Truly, O Father, we deserve only your wrath and punishment because of our many sins. Your holy law rightly condemns us, but forgive us for the sake of Christ your Son, who kept the law in our stead and gave his life on the cross for us. All this we pray in his name, and in his name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn. Good morning. I may have said this to some of you before, but if I haven't, if you haven't heard me say it, I want you to pay attention to a lot of the hymns that we sing. What does the last stanza, where does it take us? It takes us to heaven. And that's found in a lot of the different hymns, because that's the goal, isn't it? Some announcements. If there are any communicants, members that were unable to attend the Lord's Supper last Sunday, I'll offer private communion right after the service. Just let me know if you'd like to receive that, and we can do so up in the front of the church. After that, there will be a short choir rehearsal, followed by the voters' meeting to elect church officers. And then after the voters meet, there will be a women's auxiliary meeting. Monday, no school for the children at SSLS. Tuesday, Board of Ed meeting at 5 p.m. Looking ahead, we have Thanksgiving Day service at 10 a.m. Also, one other note, and that is we put out the food pantry box. These are donations of food that are given to the community help in Mountain View. May God in his grace be with you always.